Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
Seven nights at Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. Seven nights at Hallis.
Yo, 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 man. Seven nights at Hallis, episode 235. Flo's is not here. He is in Detroit. He is about to do some post game. Get the post game interview, see that bullshit that Flo's got to say. Man, I just want to let y'all know we was gonna wait a couple hours to do this, but I am pissed beyond belief, and I don't want to wait 4 hours while I'm calm and I'm reasonable and I'm in my professional voice. Fuck that. I'm gonna give y'all what y'all gonna do, what y'all want. It's also free week on the Barber's Chair Network, so I'm not gonna hold you. Second hour was free. I mean, 7 hours is free regardless, but you know, we usually give it to the Patreon subscribers on the day before. Fuck that. It's Thanksgiving this week. Everybody's getting it for free. Today, I got filling in for Flo. Look at my brother, co-host, if I'm not gonna hold you, Mikey in the building. You can follow him @Junior_Salito on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram @BarberChairScott. Of course, you can follow the Barber's Chair Network @BarbersChairNet on Twitter and Instagram. As right now, we are streaming on the YouTube. We're also streaming on all the Twitter platforms, man. And of course, when the usual thing is, we usually have this first up on the Patreon, man. Patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network, man. So enough of the introductions and shit like that. We appreciate everybody who's tuning in. Let's just get right to the shits, man. Bears lose a crushing game, 31-26 against the Detroit Lions. A game that they had well in their reach. A game that they had. They were up 12 points. Or the 12 points with like 3-something minutes left in the game. Justin Fields came back from that injury, and we all said, I'm not going to hold you all week. We weren't expecting too much from him, especially going up against a team that is as good as the Detroit Lions. But he went out there, and he put up a goddamn show, man. Justin went 16-23, one touchdown with a 1 point with a 105.2 QB rating, also while rushing 104 yards. And this is also in the game where the Bears defense had not one, had not two, had not three, but four fucking turnovers. And they still lose because of coaching incompetence this week. I mean, today, really, this entire 2 years. The Bears have been a franchise for 105 years. I might be a year short, but who gives a fuck? They've all been bad fucking years for the most part. And this son of a bitch, I'm gonna say some shit that's probably gonna get me in trouble, but I've had enough. Mike, you've been waiting for the fan side to come out. Fan side here, okay? Media train Scott is going out the fucking building today. That son of a bitch went out there and it was sabotage. I think every Bears fan knew, as excited as you want to get about this, as great as the offense looked. And honestly, considering everything we saw, the Bears offense looked really good for the most part. Justin coming out there looking confident. We're seeing stuff from Justin that we wanted to see from him. Balls getting out quick, making fast decisions, using his feet. All the things you wanted to see from a guy who's missed 5 weeks. And you go out there, first possession, score a touchdown, and you play. Then you start getting conservative. You had, two turnovers in the first half, and you went to the first half down.
Yeah, two takeaways. Yeah, two takeaways.
And you're down. You're down by 4 points in the fucking first half. This is a game with Jared Goff, who's like classic Jared Goff. This is the Jared Goff that we've seen. The Jared Goff that Sean McVay was like, get this nigga the fuck out of California now. That was the Jared Goff we've seen, and you don't do anything with it. I was very excited towards him, like, yo, this would be a big win. Justin's playing well. You're going to have some momentum now. Heading into Monday Night Football next week against the Minnesota Vikings, a team that is good as they played. You also could have beat them a couple weeks ago. This is a good situation. And then Matt Eberflus and Lou Getsy do the same bullshit they've been doing every week they've been here. Lou Getsy calls two run-em-up-the-gut plays as soon as they score, as soon as Detroit goes down the field, scores a quick touchdown, which they did that in like a minute because of soft-ass coverage that this team has been running. And soft coverage isn't just a Matt Eberflus thing. Let's be very clear. Bears defenses have not been locked down in shit. Maybe the Super Bowl year in 2006. It's been that fucking long how long they've been before they shut anybody down. I always said about the double doink year. You can sit up here and blame Cody Parkey all you want. Did he win the game? No, I mean, did he win the game? No, he damn sure 100% didn't lose it. I saw Nick Foles dink and dunk their ass 98 yards to win that fucking game. This has been a Bears problem since day fucking one, since the late Love year. So it's just something we saw here. And then all of the way you just let the calmness, you just let the Lions come back and do that the way they've done it. Like, you can't go up here, let the Lions score in like a minute, and then you go up here running up the gut twice. Everybody and their mama. I've never played football a day in my life. As a lot of you, I'm not going to hold you, watch like to remind me on Instagram comments. I've never played a down of football in my fucking life. Even I know you don't run no bullshit like that. I'm not going to sit up here and say it's sabotage that they're trying to get Justin Fields out of it. I don't think that's the case. Especially with the
I just think they're fucking stupid. They're just fucking stupid.
I just think they're dumb as hell.
It's incompetence. You got a defensive play caller who happens to be a head coach who's coaching to not lose, not coaching to win. And then you got an offensive coordinator that's doing the same fucking shit. I mean, just look at the other side of the field. Last week, Dan Campbell showed you what type of team he's going to coach, what type of man he's going to be. He's going to fucking go for it. Whether they win or lose, whatever, they're going to go for it. Meanwhile, these motherfuckers have no desire to put their nuts on the fucking table. Zero.
Yeah. No desire to put their nuts on the table. Like, you can't go. And I'm not going to sit up here. I'm not going to play Monday morning quarterback and act like I wasn't okay with the field goals. Because I did say when it happened, oh, it's a double-digit lead. But at the same time, dog, you have to be able to have the killer instinct. You can't. When you're up 12 with 3 minutes left, especially the offense is as good as this and the team is as good as this. You know what I'm saying? It's a team that is a top two. I think they have the number one record in this, number two record in NFC, period. And they went out there, and you just gave it to them. You just gave it to them. And then you have all the pressure on them. And then you're putting Justin in bad fucking situations. As dumb as some Bears fans can be, I'm glad I didn't see anybody blaming him for that fumble.
He should have never been put in that position. You were up double digits with 3 minutes left. You should have never been in that position. That's not on him. And you know what? Darnell Wright, for the most part, outside of a couple penalties he had, he held his own. Hey, that's what a lottery pick, Aiden Hutchinson should have went number one, whatever, he went number two. But that's what a top defensive end rusher does. That's when you get paid for it, to get after the quarterback. And that's what happens. He took advantage of a rookie right tackle, and it is what it is. But Justin Fields should have never been put in that situation. The offense should have never been put in that situation as a whole. The offense played well enough. The offensive line, the running game, the wide receivers. You know, DJ Moore had, I think, seven for 98 and a TD. Yeah. 96 and a TD. You did enough offensively to win the game. And surprisingly, you did enough defensively up until there were 3 minutes left to win the fucking game. When you win the takeover battle, when you win, you had the time of possession battle 40 minutes to 19 minutes. You outgained them on first downs. You outrushed them. The penalties, we had 6 for 69. They had 5 for 25. But still, it comes down to Matt Eberflus's defense. On third down, the Lions were 8 for 11 on third down. You don't win football games that way. When you're not the most talented team on the field, you got to play sound. And the Bears just completely didn't fucking do that. And it falls at the feet of the people we've been saying, Matt Eberflus and Luke Getsy.
Yeah, and it's like, and by the way, shout out to everybody on YouTube, leave a comment. Shout out to everybody on Facebook watching this, man. Shout out to Facebook for actually having their streaming back up and working, because y'all was tripping for a little bit. But shout out to everybody over there, man. But this is just some shit, dog. It shouldn't happen this way. Like you said, Justin shouldn't have been in that situation to begin with. Like, when you have a guy like DJ Moore, you traded the number one pick for, and you got, I want to see him on that final drive. And I don't have a problem with runs if you're doing creative runs. Don't do the halfback dive. Like, that's some shit they wouldn't even tell you to do on fucking ass Madden. Like, be creative with the things, man. It's
they stopped rolling Justin out. They stopped moving the pot. They did everything that we saw last year when they were tanking. What's the excuse this year?
There's no excuse. And that's something where, and we'll get into, as we have to get through the rant portion of this, we'll get through all the reports we've been hearing from Albert Breer. Actually, we talked about Albert Breer from Ian Rapoport. My bad. Ian Rapoport, my brother Flo's got a couple things he told me he learned today. We'll talk about that, that I feel is just going to get louder after today's performance. I just don't see if you're Ryan Poles, and especially if you're Kevin Warren. That's been something we've been talking about on all Barber's Chair Network shows, on 79th and Hallow, so I'm not going to hold you, is what, like, Kevin Warren got to do something. Bunk suit, I like to call him. Shout out to everybody in the comments who's been using the bunk suit name. Bunk suit has got to do something. Shout out to Gustavo here in the comments. Bunk suit, we looking at you. Yes, we're looking at you. What are you going to do? In a Michael Irvin voice, what are you prepared to do about it? What are you going to do with all this shit? We see the visuals of you and Ryan Poles and your press boxes, and y'all look like y'all just ate shit. Well, it don't matter if you don't do anything. This guy should have been fired weeks ago. And I get it's six more games after this. They're probably not going to do end of season fire. That dude needs to go right now. Him and Luke Getsy need to go right now. I think Justin has showed you, and I was so impressed by Justin. We talked about on Friday, and I'm not going to hold you. What do you want to see from Justin? What I saw from Justin against this defense, and as good as that pass rush was today, was amazing.
It's the second time this season that they've taken what would be, you know, signature wins for Justin Fields out of his hands and out of his control. Yeah. They did it against the Broncos with the failure to go for the field goal, you know, and then they do it today. I mean, up 12 with 3 minutes, like, you know, like, they gave the ball back in 15 seconds.
15 seconds, bro. 15 seconds, dog. And it's just like, when is it going to stop? When is it going to stop? Like, there's got to be accountability. I know we had this discussion where you're like, oh, well, they want to see this from Justin. Okay, I have no problem with Ryan Poles having stuff he wants to see from Justin. Justin still has a lot of shit to prove. But why are we hearing about shit he got to see from Eberflus? Mm-hmm. Why are we hearing about shit he got to see from fucking Luke Getsy? They shouldn't be off the hook. The fact that we even have to hear rumblings all fucking week, whether it's from the homie Adam Johns, or whether it's from Albert Breer, or whether it's from Sylvie or Waddle, whoever the fuck, that this man has job security, it's nuts to me. This game right here should be proof that these motherfuckers got to go. And also, Jalen Johnson, I'm looking at you. I'm a big Jalen fan. You know I am. I've been rooting for you. You can't be dropping interceptions like that. Nope. He holds on that interception, goes to the end of the field. That's seven. We not even sitting up here having this conversation right now. And even on the play before that, the last play, you got to get that, dog. You can't be out here asking for this certain money and you don't get those plays. We all know the elite corners make that. Even the non-elite corners make that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to be better. This defense has the definition of bend and don't break. And they break too many fucking times because they don't make enough plays. When you have four turnovers, number one, the game shouldn't even be that close to fucking begin with. You know, like, Tremaine Edmonds.
Yeah, when you have four takeaways, and like I said, the Lions didn't even have the ball for 20 fucking game minutes. 19 minutes they had the ball. 19 minutes they had the ball.
It's like Tremaine Edmonds, man. I know you had an interception, but dog, that tackle, you can't do that. You can't do that. You gotta finish that tackle. You can't do that. And then you're allowing these the tackling. I feel like I'm gonna start ranting. So I'm gonna give it to you right now. Well, what's your overall thoughts about everything that we saw today?
Shit. I mean, we'll start with what we wanted to see from the beginning, the quarterback. I thought Justin looked great, all things considered. He was taking some hits. I mean, you want to talk about do they want to have faith in Justin Fields and what they want to do? They allowed him to carry it 18 fucking times with a bum fucking hand. With a bum hand, he was taking hits, putting him out there to take hits, and he held on to the ball up until the very end. I'm not even going to count that shit. I'm not even going to look at it. It is what it is. But Justin, he played his ass off. He was moving the pocket. He was making plays downfield. I think he was only sacked once. I think there was two sacks. So one of them is the last play. Don't count one sack. One time where he held on to the ball a little too long and he wasn't decisive with it. But outside of that, Justin Fields was not the problem today. The Chicago Bears did not lose today because of Justin Fields. And there's a couple times you can say throughout his career that the Chicago Bears did not lose because of Justin Fields. But when you're asking to see XYZ, we want to see him in the pocket. We want to see him make plays downfield. We want to see him make off-script plays. We want to see him continue to be a game changer with his legs. We want to be able to see him push the ball downfield to DJ Moore, somebody that they gave up the number one pick for in last year's draft and traded for. He did everything that you wanted him to do. And he did that in spite of the fact he lost the starting center early in the game. Lucas Patrick got put on his fucking ass. He got cracked. He got fucking cracked.
He got cracked, but where's the flag?
Yeah. Where's the flag? Especially because they ruled it. The play was dead. Where's the flag? And then Dan fucking Feeney came in, and Justin had to deal with terrible snaps. They weren't on time, and they still were able to execute the offense. Offensively, I saw enough. The only thing that we can speak on the offense is they didn't do enough in the beginning, in the first half, with those two takeaways. You got to convert. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You got to try to put seven, especially with a team that's more talented than you. You got to be able to put seven on the board. But I thought the offense did more than a fucking enough. More than enough. You know, so from the Justin standpoint, I saw what I wanted to see. DJ Moore, he's a guy. You know what I'm saying? Cole Kmet making some plays. Roshan Johnson with some big runs.
Roshan Johnson with some big runs.
It all comes down to the coaching and at the end of the fourth quarter. We controlled the entire ball for damn near what, 9 out of the 12 minutes in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
And for it to end that way, this is by far the worst loss in the Eberflus era. I thought it couldn't get worse.
And that's saying something after that Broncos loss.
Yeah. I thought it couldn't get worse, but look,
it's crazy, man. I we'll get into, you know, other things about this game. There's just so many things that I can say. It's it's KYP, man. Know your personnel. I think it's Waddle who always says that. KYP, know your personnel. And it's like this team doesn't know their fucking personnel. It's like you can't be. What is Khalil Herbert best at when he's got room and he's able to use the speed? Up the gut should only be used for running backs like Deontay Foreman and Roshan Johnson because they both play CTE ball. You got to be more creative with that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just there's not enough consistency here. And bad teams lose games because of coaching and because of being prepared. If we can see this, the fans. If we can see this, the fans, we know the players will see that. Players know. When we heard reports, I think it was Brad Biggs who said the locker room was ecstatic when they found out Justin was going to play. And that's not any disrespect to Tyson Badgett. Tyson Badgett's a good kid, and that locker room likes Tyson Badgett. But these motherfuckers know. You got eyes. They know they had a different chance to win with Justin Fields out there. What did Dan Campbell say twice? When they interviewed Dan Campbell at his Wednesday press conference, he said, Fields is dangerous. We got to stop Fields. I lose sleep at night thinking about Justin Fields. And then, shout out to Christina Pink. Christina Pink asked him at halftime. And all he said was, Fields, 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 Fields. These motherfuckers have eyes. We've got guys like, you know, Chris Long saying, I'm never giving up on Justin Fields. So the players see. I think one thing that I can take from this is, especially from the stuff we heard, and we'll get to that in a minute, I think this front office, hopefully this is just my optimism speak. I don't think they're going to give up on Justin Fields. I think that they can see something. Now, Justin has to keep this up, by the way. He can't go out here, play this well, and put up a stink show on national television next week. And we got Troy Aikman up there tomorrow. Well, I don't know, Joe. He's got to look better there. You can't throw that. He's got to be consistent. But if he keeps playing that way, I think he'll be fine. But also, the reason if you're going to keep Justin, no matter who's under center next year, these dudes have to go. If Justin's having a hard time winning, he's been seeing NFL defenses for 3 years, how you think a guy like Caleb is going to do like this? How you think a guy like Drake is going to do this? Caleb is having problems against niggas who are motherfucking playing on Inglewood right now. Like, he's having problems with them.
They change nothing. They don't move the needle at all if you insert them.
Exactly. Big shout out to everybody in the YouTube comments, man. It's busting right now. This is why I wanted to go live. I wanted to get all y'all initial reactions. Let's move on to a little bit. That's our rant. So let's go to let's talk about some other stuff in this game. Let's try to talk a little positive. Well, what's some things from the defense that you did think were well, even though despite that, I don't think it's the players' fault, by the way. This is all scheme, in my personal opinion. What's some good things you saw from the defense today?
Obviously, you got to start with the takeaways, and you got to start with the takeaways from key guys that you expected this year to play big roles. Tyreek Stevenson, a rookie that you traded up for in the second round with a big pick, to, you know, right after scoring the touchdown. Unfortunately, we didn't score there, but that was a huge pick. Then you go to TJ Edwards, who has been fucking balling this year. TJ Edwards, nice interception there. Jack Sanborn, interception there. You know, you go and then Tremaine Edmonds. So I would start with the takeaways. That's really what you wanted to see. I would have liked to have seen Jared Goff on his ass more. I felt like there were times we were able to get pressure but not get home. Montez Sweat had a great sack in a key moment in the fourth quarter. But from the defense, that's what I take away, the takeaways, because we rarely with under a Matt Eberflus coach defense do we get takeaways. So that was a sight to see for sure.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the takeaways was something that was really important, something that we've been missing, something that's been a trademark for the Bears. We always said there's one thing about the Bears, at least in, you know, we're in our 30s, you know, since we've been Bears fans, is the Bears have always had great defenses. I think that's one thing we could always hold their head on. You know, I was thinking about today, man, could you imagine Justin with like the 2005, 2006 Bears defenses? Like, that would, you want to see a superstar, dog? Brian Urlacher, Lance Briggs, I know I'm being old right now, but I don't give a fuck. They would have been locked down. It would have been even more hell for Jared Goff. But I think what I've seen is big game from Tyreek Stevenson. I fuck with Tyreek, man. This kid, one thing you got to give him, he's a rookie. He's had a rough year. You know, been burned a lot of penalties. I think the most thing that's probably been the most discouraging for him has been the penalties, because sometimes he's too aggressive. Today, he had a big interception. He also had a couple of rough times. We backed it up with a fumble. He was great. I continue to love what I see from Kyler Gordon. Kyler Gordon is growing and getting better and better. I'm a double down. I'm a double down on what I said, or I'm not going to hold you a week ago. What did Jaquan Brisker do that is good? What did Jaquan Brisker? Somebody tell me, please. And this has nothing to do with Jaquan. I think he's a cool kid. I liked him when he was at Penn State. I was happy when they drafted him. What does he do that's good? Now, I'm not saying he's bad, but what? Name one thing that he does good. I forget he's on the fucking field until the time he's getting off the field.
Until he's hurt. Death Texas and Jaquan Brisker stopping the game because he's hurt.
Because he's hurt. It happens all the time. Much love to Eddie Jackson. Big Eddie Jackson fan. He's had an amazing career with the Bears. He's been here since day one. Love the guy. It's time for you to sign with Family Man Records, my boy. It's just a wrap. It's because that touchdown he gave up towards the end of Jameson Williams. Why was he that open, dog? That type of shit we can't see. I love Jack Sanborn, man. We always talk about guys who are like, you know how everybody's like, what's the story? You know, everybody tried to make the story on Tyson Badger. We need to be talking about this kid here. Jack Sanborn is a guy.
He's playing well.
Hooping. You know what I'm saying? Like, we were wondering, like, and I don't want, I'm not going to do the revisionist history. Oh, we shouldn't have signed Tremaine Edmonds. I did tweet that mid-game, but that was mid-game anger. I still think Tremaine Edmonds has a place in this defense, and I think he does better when the secondary plays better, and I think he'll be better once the front seven gets better. But you could have definitely... you could have definitely just ran out there with Jack Sanborn. He's been that good. TJ Edwards is worth every fucking dollar. This dude is going to have damn near 200 tackles by the end of this fucking season if he keeps it up on the pace he's doing right now. Montez Sweat, amazing. Amazing. I know my brother was very skeptical to play. I was skeptical about them not re-signing him. Poll shut me up on that. He looks like he's good money. I think Montez Sweat will be even better when you get some more dogs on that front line. But those are the things that I saw that was great from this defense. And I don't have a problem with the personnel. It's all scheme. I want to see this personnel with a better defensive coordinator.
Yeah, and add another one or two pass rushers to complement Montez Sweat. I think if you can add that to complement him, then we're definitely, you know, we definitely are cooking with something there, because the talent isn't bad on defense.
Talent isn't bad on defense, and I'll give Flew some credit here. The defense has played better since that freak bull Allen Williams left 1920 football drive. But the thing about Flew's defense is vastly overrated. Like, we always kept hearing about the defenses. These were not, I don't even think they were top 10 defenses when he was with Indianapolis.
Nah.
Like,
nah.
These are not like, you know, jump off the page defenses. And with a league that we're in right now with such explosive offenses, you need explosive defenses. You need playmakers and things like that. I'm going to give y'all a stat here that just shows you just how bad Matt Eberflus has been in his tenure here. Matt Eberflus is now 0-9 against the NFC North. 2 years, 9 games, not one fucking win against the NFC North. Matt Eberflus is now 6-22 as a head coach. That is terrible. That makes motherfucking Mark Trestman look like goddamn Bill Belichick. And he's yet, this is the kicker. This is the number one Coors Light cold hard fact. He is yet to be the team with a winning record. So for all you motherfuckers who went up there with talking about, well, they beat this team. They got 2 wins. Nigga, it's not hard to beat the Raiders when they were getting, you know, coached by Josh McDaniels. It's not hard to beat. I don't even know the other team they beat. Who else they beat? Who the other team the Bears beat this year? It's the Raiders.
The Raiders with
and the sorry ass Panthers.
And the
sorry ass Panthers, who are not going to win another game for the rest of the fucking year. That is one badass fucking football team. Let's go to the offensive side of the ball. Deontay Foreman. I'm gonna pull a Mikey here, and I'm gonna take a victory lap, as Mikey always loves to do. I tried to tell y'all niggas about Deontay Foreman in training camp. I said that outside of DJ Moore, he had the best camp. DJ Moore was wowing us, and DJ Moore has been everything that we thought he would be. DJ Moore is the only complaint I have is they need to give this kid the ball more. You need to be like, why? You know how every time that Pat always goes to Kelsey, time that Jalen goes to fucking AJ Brown and, you know, things like that, it should be the same fucking thing. Keep feeding this motherfucker. I don't understand because the thing about DJ that's great, you can give him, you know, a screen, he can take that bitch to the crib. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
Why didn't you get that on that final drive? Where was that at? Where was that at? You need to use him more, especially with all the draft capital you paid for him. You need to use him more. So I loved when I saw that. Cole Kmet shutting me the fuck up. You know, I criticize him. Cole Kmet has had 5 touchdowns. He's been pretty good in what he's been doing. We also like to make fun of the wrong St. Brown is our I'm not gonna hold you co-host J.R. Bain likes to say.
He had a nice
the
catch
wrong St. Brown.
Yeah,
EQ nice for catch. What he is. He has been a good addition to the team. I need to see Darnell Mooney. Tyler Scott, man, look, man, you a rook, and we're going to give you a pass because you're a rook. He's a good kid. Very nice
kid. Keep fucking running. Keep running.
He's a good kid. He's nice. And when we talk to him, he actually talks to us longer than anybody. Fuck with Tyler Scott. But you've got to keep running, okay? You've got to keep fucking running. If he just goes – if he doesn't give up on that route, he catches the ball – this ball game is over. There's nothing to talk about. You know what I'm saying? And I love that Justin trusted him to go for that shot. And
but
I
even then, but even then, why are you waiting till third and long to let Justin try to make a play in the air? You ran that. Why roll him out? Maybe try to pick up 6 or 7 with Cole Kmet or Mooney over. You know what I'm saying? Like, why are you forcing Justin to be in a position? Why are you forcing the offense? Like, you're not only forcing Justin. It's not just Justin on offense. But why are you forcing the offensive line to now have to, you know, you know the lines are going to pin their ears back on third and long. You know, so you're putting more pressure on your tackles. You're putting more pressure on your inside linemen. You're putting, obviously, more pressure on Justin Fields to play perfectly and make a perfect throw, which it wasn't a perfect throw, but it was a fucking perfect throw. That ball gets
it wasn't
caught.
A perfect throw, but it was good enough for him to make a play.
100%. That ball gets caught. But I don't understand why they pussified the offense and they didn't allow those early throws.
What's crazy to me is Flus goes up here in the presser on Wednesday and says, well, what we're looking for with Justin. We want to know if we can win with him. This is the perfect opportunity. Mm-hmm. Ice the game. What the ice the goddamn game? This is the perfect opportunity. And you doing like everybody in that motherfucking city, everybody in that damn arena, everybody on TV with eyes knows they're gonna send heat up the middle. They know this shit. And you're gonna do that shit now. Oh, it's 39 now. Let's throw the fucking football. It's asinine, bro. I'm running out of words to use this dude to talk about this dude, man. I feel like we could be on this all day, so let's move on before we get to I guess repeating ourselves here. Let's talk about the report that came out this morning. Mikey, you put it in the group chat, man, about came out from Ian Rapoport, NFL Network, Ian Rapoport. Ian Rapoport said that the Bears would have to be absolutely blown away to go with the quarterback, the number one draft pick. It's the same situation that happened last offseason. and that, you know, that they are, you know, comfortable where they want to see some things from him. Now we got some other reports. Shout out to my brother Flows. Flows live at Ford Field, right? He's going to post a video from the field too, so y'all can get his thoughts. He's very pissed off as well. So you can get that. Remember, Flows said he heard from some sources that he knows that the Bears, unless Caleb Williams and Drake May just like blow them away in their bowl games, like I'm talking like some six touchdown, no interception type shit, that they're not going to draft a quarterback. They're going to stick with Justin Fields, and they are fully locked in on Marvin Harrison Jr., which would be an amazing pick for the Bears. Now, it doesn't sound like Caleb Williams is going to be playing in the El Pollo Loco Bowl or the Word on Wheels South Central Bowl. That whatever USC is going to be playing in.
Sounds like he's done.
And also, I'm going to talk about that on the show tomorrow, about him leaving that podium, which I didn't like. Him and his fellow, you know, light-skinned delegation is down bad right now. Zach pulled that bullshit last night. And we're going to talk about that. I'm not going to hold you too, but we're going to talk about that. But Drake May is scheduled. I don't know what kind of bowl game they have, but he's probably going to be playing that game. He said the cry to your mama bowl. Shout out to our guy, Alex Flores, in the chat, man. But what's your thoughts on these new reports coming out, and you know, as far as surrounding Justin?
I mean, it's what we've been talking about all season. It comes down to the Bears. You won't have an early second-round pick, and you'll have your two first-round picks. Now, do you take a quarterback early and you leave yourself with just one other pick to build and to build around that rookie quarterback and give him – you know, give him help, or do you take the shrewd move and move back if you're not sold on any of these quarterbacks, which I'm not. And that's not to say I don't think they'll be good. I think they can be good. I don't see generational from either of them, but I don't think the Bears have the time to sit and wait another 2-3 years for a quarterback to develop. A lot of people are, oh, CJ Stroud. I get it. CJ Stroud is hooping, but this is very rare that rookie quarterbacks come in right away and light the fucking world on fire. It's not done frequently. So I think, in the same way we've been saying all season, the best move for the Chicago Bears is to keep Justin Fields. You still have him under contract for next year, right? So you have to pick up his option. You have to pick up his option. I want to say it's like around June 4th. Of next year, his fifth year option is 25.
Right, even with the tag, you don't have to rush to give him big money.
But listen, you got him you already have him for next year. You can pick up his fifth year option. It'll be $25 million. So that'll be for the 2025 season, right? So you have him for next year in 2025. Then you can, if he's decent and you're putting assets around him to make the team better, you can still franchise him in 2026. You can sign him to an extension. You still have plenty of options. I don't think you necessarily need to be married to getting a new quarterback. We have these games. We have eyes and we watch the same games. A quarterback is not changing the outcome of the Chicago Bears. A quarterback is not moving this team from 0-9 versus the division to NFC North contenders. It's coaching. It's better scheme. It's increased talent in premium positions. And I think Justin Fields, you can definitely cook with Justin Fields. He's showing you he's a fucking problem with nothing. Like, you can't continue to put everything, the onus on him. Like, how much shit can one quarterback have to weather, you know, lift up and weather the storm on his shoulders before you say, okay, let's get him some help?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that, man. To me, what I take from, man, is music to my ears. It's what I want to hear, man, because I can't give up on this kid. And y'all could call me a fan of him, which I am. That's fine. Like I said before, I've been a fan since he was on QB1. But he just has too much talent. And then we hear all this shit from Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren. We want to win, and we're going to take the North and never get it back. What Kevin Warren said in the first game, we're trying to win championships. Well, there's some building blocks on this team, you know,
win two games in a row first.
Win games, bro. And so you have some talent on this team, and if you go out there and honestly, you can trade the number one pick, get you a whole multitude of picks, or you can do some shit out like and just take Marvin Harrison Jr. You're gonna have two top five draft picks any goddamn way. You can just take Marvin Harrison Jr. and add that with Justin Fields, get you Olu from State, add him with Tevin Jenkins, add him with Darnell Wright, who was a dog. You know, as much as I wanted Jalen Carter, and I can't, that was a good draft pick. He's looking like he's looking good. Nate Davis, you got some pieces to build around. Add another stud with that and get you an actual offensive-minded coach. And then you can do some things. Get you a defensive coordinator who knows how to draw pressure. Get you some deep. There's some ways you can change this. You know what I'm saying? As good as the Detroit Lions are, I don't think there's going to be no team that's going to dominate the division for years. Jared Goff is not 25. You know what I'm saying? Jared Goff is not 25 and is as good as he has gotten. He's not a difference-making quarterback in my personal opinion.
I just don't understand the people that say they're not going to pass on another quarterback. For what? Like, yeah. So, if this regime is over with Justin Fields, then you are admitting that Justin Fields did not grow under Matt Eberflus and Luke Getsy's tutelage. So you're gonna move off from the quarterback, but allow the same coaching staff to be here and take in a new quarterback, and they're supposed to develop there. It doesn't work that way. At some point, they need to be held fucking responsible. At some point, Matt Eberflus needs to be held accountable. When is he ever going to take accountability? When is Luke Getsy ever going to take accountability? So I don't understand this. They're not going to pass on another quarterback. Justin Fields is not holding them back. Yeah. He is not the reason the Bears are where they are right now.
He's the only reason this game was close. Let's be very clear.
He's the only reason we're watching these fucking games, if we're being honest.
You haven't seen Shad the Beast Stokes. He said the Lions and Bears are similar in talent, but you have 100% coach. You get a musty coach. Off Madison's coach better. Prime example, and his belief with the Lions, everything that Dan Campbell was putting in that team is belief. You know what I'm saying? Like he said, Bears passed on Stroud, they not passed on Caleb Drake. Okay, well, that's just not true either.
Well, and even then, if that's your logic, they failed the evaluation on CJ Stroud. So now you think they go get it right on Caleb and Drake? Get the fuck out of here. It doesn't work that way. That's with all respect. But they failed their evaluation in evaluating CJ Stroud, clearly. So
CJ Stroud last year was better than what Caleb and Drake are doing this year. Let's be very clear about that.
100%. CJ Stroud at least made it to the he was in the playoff. He put up
Penix is looking better than both of them niggas. Penix looking better than both of them niggas right now. Like this thing I want to say, I'm not hating on these two young men because I get this a lot. On my Twitter mentions, by the way, I get a lot of bullshit in my Twitter mentions now. Like I used to get a lot, but now I get a lot. And this is the thing, I'm not hating on them kids. I wish they were amazing. You know what I'm saying? These are not the generational talents y'all make them out to be. I didn't heard Caleb Williams be compared to motherfucking Andrew Luck. I didn't see Caleb like Justin. We talking about? Let's go to Justin Fields. Justin Fields was doing. Look what Justin Fields doing them years in fucking Oklahoma. Ohio State. I know Joe gonna get mad at me for that. Ohio State. Was dominating. I don't see no domination. I live in Los Angeles. I watch all of them USC games. Show me something I'm missing. Drake is struggling against Clemson's defense. Drake was struggling against goddamn Duke last week. None of these dudes can't miss. If you want to sit up here and say they passed on CJ Stroud, okay, fine. Then that tells you their evaluation of shit to fucking begin with.
100%. And then this is my thing. If you watched, if you sat down and you weren't just looking for the highlights, if you sat down and you actually watched Caleb Williams, he has quick feet to bail out the pocket. He does not hold on to the ball well. And then if you want to critique his team, he has a bad offensive line. His defense is shitty. It's literally the same thing that he would be walking into in the Chicago Bears. Yet y'all are expecting him to change the franchise around. It does not work like that. You need to build around your players and to give them an actual opportunity to go out there and perform and succeed. You can't just drop somebody into a shitty situation. You can't just keep the offensive line the way it is. You'll probably get another center, but you can't keep the offensive line the way it is and keep the skill position players the way it is and drop a new quarterback and say, oh, because he's generational, it'll be better. It doesn't work that way.
And then also, you got to look at it like this too. How many quarterbacks in the league are expected to do as much as Justin Fields? The only one I can even think of is Lamar Jackson. And we see Lamar gets a lot of passes too. Justin is all on Justin. Justin is, you want Justin to play well. You want Justin not to turn over the ball. And you want Justin to play so well that he gets over Matt Eberflus and Luke Getsy's play calling. As bad as motherfucking Brandon Staley is, and that motherfucker is terrible, and he's going to be walking in Ross in about 7 weeks, especially they just lost to the goddamn Packers. He is out of there. That motherfucker, him and Kellen Moore are leagues better than Matt Eberflus and Lou Gehrig, and that tells you everything you need to know. It's just too much for the kid to do. If you're watching, and I think that's a problem with not just NFL conversation, but sports conversation, too many people are highlight watchers. Cousin Dan said this on I'm Not Gonna Hold You on Friday when it came to Anthony Davis. Too many people are highlight watchers. Are you really watching this game? You know, Caleb had that nice throw in the middle of the air, touchdown up there, and they were like, you can't pass on this. Twitter GMs told me that. Did y'all watch the rest of the game?
I see Tyrod Taylor make throws like that over his career.
Right, exactly. And in NFL, I'm not going to lie, that shit's probably getting picked. Like, this is the cream of the crop, bro. It's a different thing when you get to the show. And if you're the Bears, we already went through 3 years of trying to get Justin to be consistent. What do you think? You don't like how Justin fumbles the ball now? You're going to really be mad at Caleb Williams with the way that motherfucker fumbled the ball. And I just don't think it's a solution that's going to help. And I'm glad that I'm hearing that Ryan Poehler is starting to feel that same way.
No, definitely, because
you can't give up on that kid, bro. You just can't.
100%. And they're not doing anything that is special. They're not doing anything that is generational. And at the end of the day, we're all Bears fans, right? We want the Bears to win. We want the Bears to finally become competent. I would love for the Bears to win a fucking division game. We want to see them continue to become better. So by dropping in a rookie quarterback, do y'all realize we will be shitty for another 2 years going through the growing period? The growing stage and the trials and tribulations of a new rookie quarterback. So 2025, 2026, we're looking at being competent. Is that what y'all want? Like, is that really what we'd be signing up for? And I'm pretty sure Ryan Poles and the powers that be up there are understanding of that as well. Because if you could continue to get better, a better supporting cast around Justin Fields and better coaching and better leaders, they should be able to win these close games. I think back to last year. How many games were they in? And last year, you could say they were functionally taking and it worked. But how many close games were they in because the offense took them so far into the fourth quarter and then they just piddled down their leg?
I want to know when we're going to get some goddamn accountability at 1920 football drive. And the amount of shit, and it's just, it's all across Chicago sports with the exception of the Cubs right now. The Cubs are the only team. Only front office moving some goddamn sense right now. Like, when are we going to get some accountability? You know what I'm saying? Like, this is not something that is – like, you got rid of Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, and this shit has gotten worse. Uh-huh. It's gotten worse. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm almost running out of words because, like, I don't know what else to say. You know what I'm saying? He said, can you seriously stomach Caleb and Drake going to another team going well? We seen Stroud of generational. Feels okay. First of all, motherfucker, do you watch the goddamn game? Do you watch the game? There's no way that you're watching the fucking game thinking that shit. What are you talking about? CJ Stroud is looking generational. CJ Stroud is in a good system. What are you talking about? Go to another team and do well. That nigga's not going to do well here. He's not going to do well here.
He had two picks today, too.
CJ Stroud had two picks.
It is what it is, but we can't, like, can I stomach them going to another team? Yeah. Fucking Patrick Mahomes is on the Chiefs, and we passed on that. There's nobody that's going to top that, so I can stomach fucking anything. Pause.
Yeah, I'm a Bears fan. I can stomach. Only thing I can't stomach is dumbass comments like that I just fucking read. Get the fuck out of here. Anyway, I'm in a wrong move. Y'all niggas be trying to piss me off today, so get the fuck out of here. Anyway, watch the goddamn game. I can stomach a lot of shit as a Bears fan. Yeah, I'm being all goddamn naming the shit that I didn't stomach. What I can't stomach is us letting – I can't stomach watching Just Fields go to another team and do well. That's a higher percentage of that happening than Drake or Caleb going there. And let's be real. Situations in the NFL matter. Yeah, it's prime as day. Geno Smith looked like a straight-up bum until he got around Pete Carroll. Situations matter. Patrick Mahomes, as great as he is, best quarterback in the NFL, he has Andy Reid. Not only does he have Andy Reid, he had Alex Smith, who was a good quarterback. That team won double-digit games the year on his rookie season. He had a good situation to come into. The Bears don't have a foundation. They don't. So you can sit up here and tell me, well, you stomach that? I can't stomach fucking Justin Fields going to Atlanta, and then they going crazy. And thank you. Thank you, Mark. Fucking CJ Stroud, three fucking picks. Like, what the fuck are we doing? And I'm not saying this anything against CJ. CJ's great. I'm not going to be losing fucking sleep over this nigga. Like, it's the NFL, and you have to – it's a long process. It's a long process before you know what you got in a quarterback. You know what I'm saying? What if Caleb and Dre go here? The odds of Justin doing that, way, way high. That's what I can't stomach. The fuck out of here. Anyway, I'm trying to think where to go, man. We got 43 minutes. Let's try to pivot onto this upcoming game. And really just – I'm looking at the quotes that Flows is tweeting from the press conference right now. I know he's mad because when my brother says I have nothing, he is fuming. You know what I'm saying? And oh, this is how I know that Joe's mad. He cussed somebody out on the Twitter. He did to me. Only I do that shit. He cussed somebody out on Twitter. That's how I know he's upset. So I'm really looking forward to his post-game video. But all the comments I'm seeing from Flus are the same bullshit. We were upset. We know that this team is broken. I want to know what your opinion is, Mikey. Going now, you got a little longer week because you play on Monday Night Football next week, and I will be there finishing up the rest of the fucking season. What do you think the mindset is of the team now? Because I definitely feel the team knows Justin is a guy we can win behind. We had this game won if it wasn't for idiot coaches. How do you think the team is going to go get through these next six games?
Fuck. I mean, a win today clearly would have did numbers for their confidence going into the rest of the season. You know, we talked about it on Friday's show where I said Justin Fields will be the better quarterback in about four of the last seven games. I mean, for 3.5 quarters, he was the better quarterback today too. So you clearly let one slip out of your hands. So it's hard. I'm kind of at a loss for words right now, because what can you do? How can you recover from this? The only way you could recover from this is coming out with a game like you had against the Commanders and just completely stepping on the Vikings' neck. But even then, do you trust this coaching staff to you know what I'm saying? Do you trust the powers that be to see them to the finish line? And so when that clock hits triple zero, there's a W on the board. So I don't know. They're gonna have a tough one. You have to assume Justin Jefferson will be back next week for the Vikings. So that'll be tough. The Vikings didn't activate him today for tonight's game. Madison is still in concussion protocol. They're giving him another 10 days, so he'll probably be back. So you'll be getting the Vikings at about full strength, you know, without Kirk Cousins. And the Bears, I think there's a lot of positives you can build off of what Justin Fields did offensively. But I really want to see how do they...
Hey, Mike in the comments, suck my dick. The fuck out of here. Anyway, continue.
He's better prospect. What makes him better prospect? Clearly, I would like to know what makes them a better prospect. He was banned, and they're kind of
fuck out of here, nigga. I am not in the mood.
I want to see how do the Bears and Luke Getsy's bitch ass, how do they game plan for Brian Flores' defense that we know is going to blitz him? Because that's how Justin Fields got hurt.
Yeah.
56, 57, 58% of the time, Brian Flores is blitzing. So how are they gonna prepare for that? Because you remember the last time we played them, we came off a 10 days rest with a little mini bye after playing on a Thursday, and they had no game plan for them. So I'm really, everything I want to see on Monday is gonna come from coaching.
Yeah, man, I think this is something where I think this is gonna have to start doing some inner coaching. Like, I feel like Justin. One thing I love that I saw from Justin outside of actual players, we saw fieriness that we don't see from Justin. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, him getting on Feeney's ass for the terrible snaps. Yeah, I don't understand how this team has three centers and all three of them suck. That I just don't understand. Him being more vocal, even with the big third down run he had, we was 35 yards and he did a little dance. We're seeing more from Justin. If I'm Justin, I'm getting everybody on the chat and I'm like, look, we just gonna have to like get ourselves to these next couple games. You know what I'm saying? And but I think the biggest question here is, because we all know they're not going to fire any the owner. First, I wouldn't hire Flus to fucking begin with. But, you know what I'm saying? He wouldn't be getting on that plane or bus, whatever they take him back to Chicago. You have to nip in the bud now. But I think the biggest question is, next week is going to tell me a lot about, not really about the team, and really not even about the coach. You're going to tell me about the resilience, because can they even put up a fight next week? If they come out there and they get steamrolled, especially with as well as the Vikings been playing. The Vikings have won 5 in a row. If they win tonight, it'll be 6 in a row. And they're only 2 games behind the loss column behind Detroit. So, you know, they're not out of this race. Joshua Dobbs is playing. But if you go out there and you get steamrolled, then you just really sleepwalking through the rest of the games.
I don't see them being steamrolled. I see another close game, but
that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, I think there'll be another close game. Is it at home or is it in Minnesota?
It's in Minnesota. Okay, I will unfortunately be in Minneapolis.
Okay. I mean, Justin has had some success over there. He had a great year last year, you know, against them. And that was the Smith-Marset fumble when Justin was driving them, you know, to get in the field goal range for the game-winning field goal. He fumbled on the Vikings side of the 50. But, fuck, man. I don't know, bro. And, you know, my man Debo texted me during the game, and he was like, yo, Justin, you playing for your career. Fuck Luke Getsy. Just go out there and fucking make some shit happen on your own. Because clearly they're not.
You got to be the Thanos. I'll do it myself.
Because they clearly. They're clearly not setting them up.
Here's some quotes from Justin in the press conference. My brother's tweeting. Justin noted that he felt it was a good read to throw to Tyler Scott. And he said, this is my favorite quote right here. I'm going to keep it real. We should have won that game. We're not going to stop over nail. We got a game next week. We're going to keep it pushing. And he says that when he got stripped, he noted his head was down towards the check down when the ball was knocked out of his hands. And Darnell Wright gave up a sack. He said he should have had another touchdown by Uber through the first one, talking about the over from DJ Moore. So Justin is taking accountability for people that he don't need to be taking. You know what I'm saying? I'll be in Minneapolis smoking. He said, I'll be in Minneapolis smoking with the enthusiasm of Chicago and moved out. You goddamn right, Timothy. You goddamn right. Yeah, I like that. Justin taking accountability for shit he don't need to be taking accountability for, but I'm glad that you see that from your quarterback. You got to wear it and shit like that. And so I'm hoping they don't get steamrolled. At this point, I take nothing out of the realm possibility with the Chicago Bears, any and everything. Caleb would have went to press. Caleb would have went to the press and started crying. But remember, mental health matters. I just want to keep telling y'all that. Mental health matters. But yeah, man, I think that's pretty much all I got, man. I'm all yelled out and I'm ridiculously hungry. I've not eaten today.
I'm about to smoke my face off and cry.
I'm finna watch actual football, but give us like we'll preview the game on. Actually, we don't have a show on Friday, so what do you think's gonna happen? Give me a score for next Monday.
Shit, does it matter? Josh Dobbs. I got to see how the Vikings look tonight. I got to see how they look tonight. I'm probably have a better answer for you tomorrow, and I'm not gonna hold you. I think I'm thinking we're looking at a game in the 20s, maybe 27-24 type of game.
Okay. Yeah, man. I will be back too. Both of us will be back tomorrow. I'm not gonna hold you to Monday edition for everybody who watches. I'm not gonna hold you. We're only doing one show this week because the holidays. I will be doing I'm not gonna hold you halftime, which is on the Patreon. And if you want to know where to go for that right now, it's patreon.com/barbershed network. I will be breaking down Thanksgiving games, talk about a little NBA on there. But tomorrow we're gonna recap everything from the football weekend. We're gonna do a Bears Vikings preview since we won't be here next week. And then we're gonna be off for the next 2 weeks, man, as I'm doing some traveling. Gonna be in Minneapolis next week, and we're finishing up this Bears season. And I'm also going to be doing some dope shit in New York. That I can't wait for you guys to see, man. Mikey, thank you for joining me, filling in for my brother. Flows will be giving y'all his post-game video, and that's gonna be free. It's been a free week on Barbershed Network. I'm gonna start doing one free week a month, so Joe can stop calling me a capitalist. So I'll be doing one free week a week. So this is the free week for y'all. So you know to follow Mikey on Twitter and Instagram at @Junior_Salito. I hope he won y'all some money today.
Justin Herbert's ass, Sam Howell's ass.
It didn't work out, man. But we appreciate everybody. You know to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @BarbChairScott. I want all y'all. I appreciate everybody who watched this episode, man. We had a lot of engagements. Even the asshole who was talking shit, who I blocked. I was in a bad mood. It is what it is. This is what I love about being non-traditional media. I can do what the fuck I want. So happy Thanksgiving to y'all, and we'll see y'all tomorrow on. I'm not gonna hold you. We up out of here. 7 nights at hell is what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. 7 nights at hell is.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.